This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up what you want if you dial toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
Yeah, Nick.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com. As always, a lot to talk about. Your phone calls are primary. If you make them, we'll start out with a story. It's pretty disturbing. And it has to do with the UN, which is an organization we haven't really talked very much about in recent times. I guess I haven't seen anything about them meddling too much as far as in the realm of what's going on here in America, at least.
You hear about them on, if you listen to NPR.
They talk about how the UN peacekeepers are sexually molesting children around the world.
Well, I've heard the allegations.
That's what this story is about. It's from The Economist and from a little earlier this year. Organizations that send peacekeepers and aid workers to dangerous places are usually concerned about their envoys' physical safety, but an uglier concern has recently surfaced: how to ensure the moral integrity of people who are supposed to be helping others. A report recently by the British branch of Save the Children, an aid organization, underlines the problem. In a study carried out last year in three places with a strong international presence, Southern Sudan, Haiti, and Côte d'Ivoire, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Ivory Coast.
The Ivory Coast, yeah. There you go. The charity said that it had found widespread sexual abuse of children, some as young as six, by aid workers and, above all, by UN peacekeepers. More than half of the 250 boys and girls aged 10 to 17 that were interviewed said they knew of such cases. But the abuse remained widely unreported, it said, because most of the children were, shocker, too frightened to come forward.
Mm.
Sadly, the report tells a familiar tale. The UN in particular has been plagued by sex scandals among its peacekeepers in recent years. After a particularly shocking series of rapes by Nepalese blue helmets in the Congo in 2003, Kofi Annan, then UN Secretary General, set up a committee of inquiry. Its damning findings of repeated patterns of rape and other sexual abuse by peacekeepers prompted Annan to announce 3 years ago a policy of zero tolerance for such crimes for all of the 200,000 or so personnel, civilian and military, who are employed by the UN and its agencies around the world. So that should solve the problem, right? Now zero tolerance, going to crack down, make sure these twisted weirdos are taken off the force.
Yep, Kofi Annan announced zero tolerance, yep. So that should take care of it right there.
Problem's been solved. Well, let's find out. The world body has always banned its staff in the field from having sex with prostitutes or anyone under the age of 18. It also strongly discourages sexual relations, even with consenting adults in the host population. Conduct and discipline teams have now been set up in each of the UN's 17 peacekeeping missions, along with an overarching special unit at its headquarters in New York to help eradicate the scourge. So they've hired more bureaucrats on to oversee the existing bureaucrats. In addition, since 2005, all new peacekeepers have been required to undergo training to prevent sexual exploitation.
I can only imagine what they think when they're doing this. I can see that they think, well, the UN, it's an important body. It's sort of the world's government. We're getting military men from around the world, and we're sending them places, and they're sodomizing people. Mm-hmm. What do we do about this? We need an oversight committee
overseeing,
or something.
Yeah.
It's out
of the Russian, the Soviet Union textbook.
It's very central planning-esque, that's certain. But I don't think they can think outside these lines. What do they think? Well, they can't imagine for a second pulling out their peacekeepers,
sure.
Because government never imagines stepping back. They never imagine that they're meddling in something they shouldn't be involved in. They just want to be able to do it better. Now, they're not incentivized in the same way the marketplace is to do things better. There's customers, feedback, things like that. But, I'm sure they want to do the right thing. They're just incapable of it.
Well, certainly since 2005, now that all the so-called peacekeepers have been required to undergo training to prevent sexual exploitation, going to one of those little classes where they say, now don't say this and don't do that, certainly that solved the problem, right? Well, no, according to the story, the abuse continues, seemingly unabated. Following the scandal in the Congo, there have been serious incidents of alleged rape of civilians by blue helmets every single year since. In Burundi in 2004, Sudan in 2005, Haiti in 2006, Liberia in 2006, and the Ivory Coast in 2007. Last year, the UN received 748 allegations of misconduct by its peacekeepers, 127 of which were involved sexual exploitation and abuse. Most, if not all, will be investigated, just like the cops around in America investigate their own when they are alleged to have done something wrong. And then 99% of the time, the investigations come back as well. They were going by the book. Everything's fine.
The people investigating themselves kind of look at the situation where, well, we have these police officers or military persons there, and, you know, additional bad press is going to be bad for us, so we have to have them there. They're by and large doing the right thing. They're keeping the peace and putting the criminals away and all that other stuff. But this kind of black eye on our organization isn't going to do anyone any good. And the person's already raped. Maybe we'll give them some money. In the case of cops, they never do. Mm-hmm. But maybe we'll give them a little hush money. That's how they think of it. You know, they're looking at the their own organization and what they have to benefit.
Well, it says here, few of those cases that will be investigated are likely to lead to convictions or even sanctions. But when it comes to its blue helmets, the UN finds itself in a bind. Although it can and does investigate any serious complaints against them, it has no jurisdiction over the alleged culprits. Only their home states have the authority to try and punish them. Most peacekeeping troops come from the developing world, Bangladesh, Nepal, Ghana, Pakistan, India, Jordan, Nigeria, some of the biggest contributors, and many prefer to sweep such incidents under the carpet.
By the way, when they say peacekeeping forces, the old term was mercenary. I mean, that's all they are, is that these countries are selling their army personnel.
Mm.
And the army personnel probably get a spiff for being in combat zones or whatever. And then the country itself gets some money for sending its troops off, and just like the Hessians in the Revolutionary War.
All that the UN can do is dismiss the naughty boys and recommend their repatriation, as all peacekeeping troops enjoy absolute legal immunity. The host country cannot do anything either. So, kind of confusing. It says that their home states have the authority to try and punish them, but in the same paragraph it says they have legal immunity. So,
well, they have legal immunity from the host country. So Nepalese troops in, say, Ghana can't be prosecuted by Ghana, where the rape occurred, but they can be prosecuted back in their home in Nepal, which is much less likely, and some countries probably have legal systems where they can't prosecute for crimes outside of the country, because usually jurisdiction is restricted to one country.
Let's assume they have a court system that might be somewhat similar to the United States, where they gather evidence and you face accusers and things like that. How's that going to be done half a world away?
And by very poor people. I mean, if you're in a war zone where peacekeeping troops are present, then you're probably not going to have a whole lot in terms of resources to take this to court in a foreign country.
This is yet another example of how it is that the more centralized anything is, and of course the UN is about as centralized as governmental systems get.
I mean, it really is the definition of central. Until we start occupying other planets, the UN is the biggest centralized governing body in the world.
It just goes to show that they just become more and more insulated from any sort of consequences that could befall them for doing what are some of the most awful things you can possibly do to another human being.
You send military guys, which enlisted men don't tend to come from the upper crusts, generally. You give them...
Wait a minute. Just because you come from the upper crust doesn't mean you're less likely to be a rapist.
I think that you could say that crime is probably committed on violent crimes are probably committed on a larger scale in the lower income brackets, Ian.
I don't know if that's true, Mark. I think that you would find that rape happens at all kinds of levels, and it's probably the case that many of the people who are of the upper crust that are getting away with rapes are getting away with it because they're insulated from
prosecution. Let's operate from that idea. They don't come from the...
Well, they don't. It's not necessarily their economic class. It's also some countries don't have as much of a cultural aversion to rape as we in the West do. I mean, there are a lot of developing countries in Asia and Africa where women just aren't viewed as people to the same extent that they are here. So I think you're more likely to see differences in the way women are perceived culturally. Not that it's necessarily all female children that are being abused, but I would guess that largely it is.
The toll-free number here is 800-259-9231. Just one example of how, again, the more centralized the bureaucracy, the more untouchable its members are. And, of course, we already know that federal government people and even some of the local guys are virtually untouchable simply because they protect one another. And, Mark, I think you've got a story about some police possibly sodomizing a man smoking marijuana. I don't know if you've got that ready. We'll get to that here in a moment to take your calls about anything. This is Free Talk Live.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Supervita Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Supervita Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-246-6204. That's 1-800-246-6204. With Supervita Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Call 1-800-246-6204. That's 1-800-246-6204.
You invest, you buy insurance, you wear your seatbelt, you do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products, emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, communication devices, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against all natural disasters and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you are not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in FEMA lines. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. Or call 877-231-1925. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now.
Break the law and you're caught on film.
Practically impossible for police to spot plates that have been treated with a reflective spray. The reflection blinded our camera.
We are under the microscope. Red light cameras and speed cameras are in place to make money, not for your safety. But you don't have to be defenseless against these unconstitutional devices. Have a fighting chance with SprayYourPlate.com's photo blocker. When properly applied, this revolutionary product has proven itself to be the most effective device available against traffic cameras. Invisible to the naked eye, your license plate, when flashed, will be overexposed and unreadable to the cameras. Save your money. Go to SprayYourPlate.com. That's SprayYourPlate.com. And check out the newscast showing the photo blocker in action, proving that the Spray Your Plate's photo blocker works against traffic cameras. Go to SprayYourPlate.com or call 1-800-276-9601. That's 1-800-276-9601. Don't give your money to the state. Spray Your Plate. And when the cameras flash, you'll save some cash.
I didn't have health insurance. I'm young, healthy. I never even get colds. And I thought it was too expensive. Why spend the money? Well, I found out the day I crashed my mountain bike and had to go to the hospital, to the tune of $18,000. Fact is, everyone needs health insurance. That's why a free service called Get Insured will help you get the facts. I found out too late about Get Insured, but it's not too late for you. If you're uninsured, have had trouble getting health insurance, or just want to make sure you're paying a fair rate, make the free call to 1-800-617-9867. Get Insured isn't an insurance company. It's a free service that helps you find affordable, quality health insurance. Everyone's different, but turns out I could have been insured for less than I spend on coffee each month. That beats my $18,000 hospital bill. Don't wait until it's too late for you and your family. Get the facts on health insurance. Make the free, no-obligation call to Get Insured. 1-800-617-9867. 1-800-617-9867.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything. Just dial toll-free 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those, including the trend of female listeners, the dozens of ladies who've sent us their validated photo to prove they listen to the show, head over to shrine.freetalklive.com and see what that's all about. That again is shrine.freetalklive.com. The Institute for Humane Studies is now offering free seminars over spring break. For those of you who are undergraduates, graduate students, and recent graduates, this March you can join other libertarians from across the country for an intense and interdisciplinary exploration of classical liberal and libertarian thought. Participation is free, and IHS provides housing and meals during the conference. So apply now to attend a seminar at the University of California, Santa Cruz, March 7th through 12th, or at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, March 14th through the 19th. Visit libertarianseminars.com for more information. That's libertarianseminars.com. All right, our number here is 800-259-9231, and we are going to go to your phone calls. Mark, you get the sodomy story. We might get to that here if we got time, but of course your calls are primary. So let's start with Ofer in New Hampshire on the AMP line. Hello there.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
First of all, let me say that I'm actually a longtime supporter, but this is only the second time I've listened to the show, last night being the first.
Wow.
Interesting.
Welcome aboard.
It's kind of strange, I know. Because I'd heard about you when I moved to New Hampshire, and I saw that you guys were being successful spreading the message, so I decided to support you. But I'm very busy, so I rarely get time to actually listen to the show.
Well, I hope that after having listened to one show, you feel as though you are doing the right thing.
Well, actually, I realized that I was probably right in not listening, because I started listening last night, and every 2 minutes I wanted to call up and refute a point. And I actually called up, and I was on hold for an hour and a half, because I didn't know to call the AMP line. So I actually started taking notes while waiting about all the issues we were discussing.
Great. Notes are very helpful when you have multiple things to say, so that way you won't get sidetracked. Exactly. Go ahead, sir.
So there are 2 points. The first one I wanted to talk about was you guys were discussing employing the free market to support liberty activism yesterday.
Yes.
And I had a similar theory a while ago when I was reading up on the tax resistance movement. And I was this was during the heyday of the Ron Paul Revolution. So I was my first thought was, we'll establish a chip-in. And that way, you know, anyone who gets hurt can, you know, from their participation in tax resistance, could get supported by the chip-in.
Mm-hmm.
But that has the same flaws that any collectivist system has. So instead, I started thinking, well, how do we employ the free market to solve this problem? And it occurred to me that perhaps the best form would be in the form of an insurance company. So let's say you decide you want to participate in the tax resistance movement in some fashion without getting into the details of what legal theory or anything you're going to approach. You could take out, you know, tax resistance insurance from this insurance company. And their premium, your premium would probably be based on their evaluation of how effective the tactic you intend to employ is, and, you know, tailored maybe to your particular financial or legal context. And if you get screwed, then the insurance probably kicks in and helps you out.
Have you ever heard of Save a Patriot?
Yeah. What's that?
Have you ever heard of Save a Patriot?
No, I haven't. This is basically what I just described.
You may want to look into them. I don't think they're as an intricate of a system in that they're not offering a policy per se, and you know they're not analyzing your tactics or anything like that. But it's my understanding, and I don't have a real detailed understanding of what Save a Patriot was doing, but it's my understanding that it was a similar concept in that there were multiple members, and these members were contributing X amount of dollars per month to the organization, and then when one of the members of the organization were to come under, if they were to come under fire from some governmental entity, the organization would spring into action and send, you know, money to help this person out. So it was a similar concept, and I know that the feds did go after Save a Patriot recently. I don't know what the outcome of that was. It may still be pending. I haven't looked in quite a while, but if somebody out there listening knows a little bit more about what's going on with Save a Patriot, you're certainly welcome to chime in. So that's one of the things you're going to be dealing with, you know, something like this, with an idea like this, is you're going to be attracting attention from the people in the various different governmental organizations, and they will want to shut you down.
Exactly. As was pointed out last night, if you're too successful, they'll change the laws. So ultimately, this is probably not a long-term way of how we're going to succeed, but it might be a short-term way to, you know, I'm not even sure I agree with the tax resistance movement, but yeah, I'm always interested in ideas on how to help people achieve their goals, even if I'm not necessarily sure that it's the best way to go.
Okay. So what else did you have tonight, Ofer?
What's that?
I was saying, what else do you have tonight?
The second point was regarding the topic of conspiracy theory, which came up while I was waiting to talk about the first thing.
Okay.
And I don't want to speak in support of or against conspiracy theory. What I want to do instead is draw focus to the mythologies that I think are clouding the issue. So I'd like to first start with an example. One of the great myths of the 20th century is the desirability of centralization, of centralized management. And of course, you know, free marketeers like you and I, have, poked several holes in that, on several fronts. So there's the moral argument, which is, A, people simply do not have the right to engage in force. So even if it were desirable, it still can't be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the practical flaws where bureaucrats don't have market knowledge. Only markets can have all the information to set prices.
Right.
They don't have incentives like, competition and profit, et cetera. So there's the moral flaws in the myth, there's the practical flaws in the myth, et cetera. But I want to speak to one of those flaws in the myth that I think is itself a myth, containing a flaw that we are overlooking, and that is the flaw of the incompetence of bureaucracy. A flaw in the myth of the incompetent bureaucracy.
Okay.
Because free marketeers have long spoken about how bureaucrats are inefficient for all the reasons I just described. And there's truth to that, but I don't think that fully captures the whole picture because of this flaw, which I believe exists, which can be summarized as it assumes the dictators are benevolent. It assumes that the bureaucrats, for the most part, it assumes that the bureaucrats are actually trying to do what's right or maybe not even caring about doing anything. And because of lack of competition, because of lack of the profit motive, they're then inefficient. I'd like to propose an alternative view that I think partially represents reality, if not better represents reality.
Go ahead.
That is to consider the bureaucrat as a company owner rather than as a bureaucrat. And a company owner is in a very different model, right? A company owner has a personal stake. He has the profit motive. So company owners tend to be able to somewhat efficiently manage in a centralized fashion a small company because they have motivation. They have incentive. So if you think of a bureaucrat as a company owner, except instead of making money, it's gaining power, but also gaining money, either of them are valid, then you can see how a bureaucrat could actually efficiently manage a small group to pursue a malicious agenda. So I think this benevolent dictator mistake exposes the incompetent bureaucracy as a myth. Bureaucracies actually can be competent, just not at what they're, you know, what the marketing states, like Social Security has nothing to do with actually protecting people, but it could be doing a very good job at what it's really trying to do, which is probably not something we want it to do.
So you're suggesting...
On that note,
okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm just trying to understand where you're coming from here. You're suggesting that not all bureaucrats have the best of intentions and that those that have negative or malicious intentions may actually, in point of fact, be quite efficient at doing what it is that they're doing.
Exactly.
Hang on, I'll bring you back for more. For more with you in moments, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And you can bring up whatever you want. That is the point of the program, and it's why we call it Free Talk Live.
As a parent, your biggest fear is getting a phone call that your child has been attacked or worse. With your child going to college or moving out on their own, it's important to keep these safety tips in mind. Teach them to be aware of their surroundings. Walk on well-lit paths with friends or students. Secure the windows and doors of their dorm room or apartment. Know how to reach campus security. Always tell someone where they're going and when to expect their return. And always carry a self-defense device. This important message is brought to you by PepperSpray.com. PepperSpray.com features a full line of products for college students like pepper spray and mace, as well as window locks for dorm rooms or apartments, personal alarms, stun guns, and nighttime safety items. Enter school in the coupon code box and receive 10% off your order. Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com or call 800-908-9988. That's 800-908-9988.
We all know that the Berkey water systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. The revolutionary Berkey Light self-sterilizing and recleanable purification elements purify water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and by extracting harmful chemicals such as herbicides, pesticides, VOCs, organic solvents, radon-222, and trihalomethanes. They also reduce nitrates, nitrates, sediment, and unhealthy minerals such as lead and mercury. As an authorized dealer for over 2.5 years serving thousands of satisfied customers, we offer amazing specials for Berkey Light water systems. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with 2 black Berkey filter elements and free KDF shower filter for only $209, plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping and 1 KDF shower filter, a $49 value free for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or simply click on the banner at GCNLive.com to order online now. Not yet available in Iowa.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible, right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
Would you like to know how you can use water as fuel and laugh at the rising price of gas? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has the information you need to learn about the newest hydrogen technology available. GasFreedom is an affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns efficiently and provides the energy your car needs. In just 10 minutes, you'll discover exactly how this is possible. This is the secret the oil companies don't want you to know. Learn how easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car and experience the most powerful hydrogen cells available. Visit gasfreedom.info and receive $59.95 off of your order by using coupon code GCN. Turn any car into a hybrid and laugh all the way to the bank. Visit gasfreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. Call today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Show is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything if you dial toll-free, 800-259-9231. That number brought to you by SACL CAI. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site, they are free, so enjoy those. They include the bulletin board system, over 400,000 posts. There's a lot to talk about, serious issues, the fun stuff. You'll find it all at bbs.freetalklive.com.
Do you want to buy ebooks, but you don't have one of those expensive ebook readers? eChapter1.com. You'll find over 100,000 downloadable books. And from what they've said, they're the least expensive of the ebook distributors on the entire internet. You don't need any special device to read them either. Any laptop, PC, or PDA will do. It's E as in easy. ChapterONE.com. That's eChapter1.com.
All right. Our number is 800-259-9231. We are on with Ofer from New Hampshire on the AMP line. And you were explaining to us that you don't necessarily believe that it's true across the board that bureaucrats are inefficient. And you were giving the example that while it may be true in the example of where the bureaucrat is attempting to do the right thing or provide some sort of product or service that could be maybe provided in the marketplace, however, in your example was that for bureaucrats that are doing malicious things, that are doing evil, you're suggesting that they can be, in fact, quite efficient. And I think I might agree with you in that I've said before on this program that it sure does seem like the government is pretty good at blowing things up and killing people.
Correct.
So I'd like to hear, before we go on with your points, I know you had more to say, but I'd like for the panel to chime in on your thoughts on what Ofer has shared with us
sure.
so far.
Well, I would say that, you know, when you're thinking about crime as in, distributing drugs or something like that, yes, a police officer could be extraordinarily efficient at that because he has the monopoly privilege of force and can crack down on the people in competition with him or people that, don't pay up to do business with him or whatever. He would be extraordinarily efficient. However, thinking about in a military situation, a military would have the advantage of taxing people to pay for its equipment, but I would think that an organization like Blackwater or something like that could very easily, I think that you probably would have, smaller troop situations, like special forces situations, that Blackwater would do better than, say, the Green Berets if they chose to do that.
I mean, you're right about
their security. But when you're talking about tank warfare or battleship warfare, I think that the government has the advantage because they can build these giant things that cost so much money. So,
private industry could build those things, too. I mean, the money's out there.
I've only punched a tiny pinhole in what he said. So that's all I can do.
I still think the free market could actually do all those things better. The free market could do defense and could provide drugs better than bureaucracy. But I was actually...
Well, hang on. Before you go on there, I want to get Nick's thoughts here.
I mean, they could... Maybe. I mean, they do have the distinct advantage of being able to fund themselves through coercive taxes, which if you're, say, in a war, does give you a distinct advantage. I mean, you might get higher quality security out of, say, a free market or defense, but you're probably not likely to be able to sustain any kind of a fight against a government that's capable of taxing and drafting people into its military. So the government,
right,
I think,
which are forms of subsidies.
Yes, they are, but I don't think that the military is necessarily going to be that much less efficient. Quite often it is, but when it comes to the actual act of combat forces in the military, I think you're going to see pretty much parity between well-trained government forces and well-trained private forces. They both exist, and bureaucrats, what I'm saying is you're correct in that bureaucrats can be fairly efficient when they've set their mind to, say, killing people or arresting people. I think you're somewhat accurate on that.
Well, the problem with the government has in combat situations is deployment by upper echelon people. You know, it's Delta Force could have gone in and gotten Osama bin Laden in a story that we had read recently in Tora Bora, but they were pulled off by their superiors for some kind of political reason.
Yeah, so I'm not so sure that was... bureaucracy so much as it was an intentional thing, but that might be my
take. Well, this is all true, but I don't want to focus so much on violence. What I want to do is bring this back to my original topic, which was conspiracy theory, and try to build up to some larger conclusions.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so I discussed the possibility that inefficient or incompetent bureaucracy might, the myth of it, might have some flaws. So bringing this back to conspiracy theory, one of the more popular points that are brought up in generalized sort of abstract discussions of conspiracy theory is that government is the anarcho-capitalist argument that government is inefficient and incompetent, and therefore how could they do all these amazing things that conspiracy theorists claim that they can do. So I believe that demonstrating that the incompetence and inefficiency can be is a myth in certain situations because it doesn't account for power agendas. And the efficiency of bureaucrats to pursue those is a flaw in that debunking of conspiracy theory in general. But more importantly, I see the problem as being the fact that conspiracy theory is discussed in the abstract. It tends to be a false dichotomy of people who assume that conspiracy theory is everything versus people who assume that conspiracies can't possibly happen, which is sort of like two competing myths. They're both wrong. What I really would like to see more focus on is the real dichotomy of people who assume anything versus people who do not assume anything, simply look at the evidence with an open mind and then stand behind whatever conclusion they feel the evidence supports.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from on that, and I think that we acknowledged recently that there are certainly some real conspiracies out there. I mean, the Federal Reserve was certainly founded in a secretive meeting on Jekyll Island, for instance. So there's certainly some conspiracies out there. However, I don't necessarily advocate that anybody spend any of their precious time trying to discern whether or not a conspiracy theory is true or not. I mean, it may be a fun exercise for one to spend one's free time. However, it doesn't really have any relevance in achieving liberty in our lifetime. I mean, whether or not we can determine John F. Kennedy was shot by his own government people is not really relevant to, you know, the main overarching, I think, mission that I have in life, and that is to help people understand liberty and achieve it as soon as we possibly can.
Oh, I agree. The issue of whether or not conspiracy theory is even relevant to the liberty movement is a very interesting one. I think there are good arguments on both sides. I'd love to see it, for example, debated at a liberty forum.
Well, perhaps you can get in touch with Chris, who is organizing that particular event, and maybe get him to, you know, throw out the idea to him. Maybe
you can hand out little tin hats as party papers, too.
Hey, Ofer, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate the discussion.
No problem.
Yep, 800-259-9231. Now, I agree with him. He makes a good point, and that is that he did essentially shoot a hole in the comeback that some people have had to some of the conspiracy theorists out there who've said, well, how could the government, it's so incompetent, how could it possibly achieve these things?
Well, I think that he's, I don't know, a giant hole? No. A businessman is motivated by power also. He wants his company to become more powerful, compete better against the other companies out there. I mean, I feel, you know, a competitive urge against other talk show hosts out mm-hmm. there. I want my company, you know, my show, to do better than theirs. I want it to be on more stations than theirs. I want it to be listened to by more people. I want it to be more influential. I want all those things. So I'm motivated in the same way the bureaucrat is. And on top of that, I'm motivated financially. So
sure.
All that's being said is that there's a profit motive in that you know, rewards and punishes better in the free market.
Well, but most conspiracy theories tend to tie into at least some group of people, and it's often a small group of people. But most conspiracy theories, the idea is that there's a group of elites who actually do benefit financially or in some tangible way from, say, an assassination or a false flag terrorist event, or whatever the particular conspiracy theory happens to be. For example, the Federal Reserve Bank, when it was created, was probably pretty profitable for the bankers who helped arrange it behind the scenes,
I suspect.
So you can use government to draw profits to you, even though it's not the free market.
In the case of the Federal Reserve, they aren't actually the government. They just use their government stooges to get done what they wanted to get done. So, you know, there's...
Right, but I mean, what's effectively the difference if you have corporate interests using the power of the state to draw profits?
One's free market and one's not. I would love to be able to get some government stooge out there to force every radio station in America to carry Free Talk Live 6 nights a week, 3 hours a night. But
that would still be a government conspiracy theory. Just because someone profits from it doesn't make it not a conspiracy theory.
I think we've argued in a circle now, Nate.
1-800-259-9231. We go to your calls about what you want. You can take control of the airwaves. Bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live. The toll-free number again, brought to you by SACL, CAI, 800-259-9231. Comment on this or whatever you want. Free Talk Live.
Are you concerned about the privacy of your email messages? Andre Picard, author of the Computer Privacy Handbook, says that normal email has become the most comprehensive surveillance system ever invented. Email may feel like a private one-to-one conversation, but in truth, it's about as confidential as whispering through a megaphone. When messages leave your company's email system, they become vulnerable to unscrupulous third parties who harvest private data for advertising. Also, if you're someone's boss, consider this little fact. In a recent survey, over 35% of IT professionals in charge of business email systems admitted to snooping through the boss's email. Your email no longer has to be exposed to such risks. Now there's PrivacyHarbor.com, an innovative new secure email solution utilizing some of the same reliable technology used in online banking. PrivacyHarbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
Here's a startling fact. The New World Order wants you dead. Chemicals and toxins are in the air. Biowarfare. Drugs and unknown substances. Foods with no vitamins. Fast food for obesity. Fluoride in our water. How do we fight back? What do we do? Make a life change decision. Get ahead of the curve. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Cleanse your body and internal organs. Lose weight and receive more energy. Get aboard the life change boat and say no to the dark side. All natural, and for about $1 a day, you can win the race. GetTheTea.com. Or call our friendly operators. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Don't be deceived by the bullies of the trade.
Drinkin' Mate proudly presents another mind-boggling episode of America's Toughest Quiz Show. That's Too Complicated! Let's see if we can figure out which contestant got the intellectual edge after an evening of partying by using Drinkin' Mate.
For 20 points in the win, Nilt, GLUR5 and blank kinate receptor subunits in hippocampal neurons co-assemble to form functional receptors.
Pony?
Oh, too bad! Yes, Chip!
The logical companion of GLUR5, GLUR6.
You've won the game!
Hey, life is like a game, and if you want to win, you've got to give it your best every day, which doesn't always happen after an evening of celebrating with friends and family. That's why there's Drinkin' Mate, a patented formula of guava leaf extract proven to reduce the effects of hangover. It restores balance to your body, keeping headaches and nausea at bay, and it really works. Tell them, Don.
Drinkin' Mate. I wouldn't be able to read this without it.
Available at quality retailers nationwide. Drinkin' Mate urges you to please drink responsibly.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent self-reliant news bulletin. If you have ever wanted to produce your own cheaper-than-dirt survival food, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Here is why. This network has just learned of a new video course that reveals the secrets of how to safely prepare and store all types of survival foods in an event of social unrest and food shortages here in the U.S. Grain shortages and hunger are spreading across the globe. Will troops guard the food supplies in the U.S. this fall? Don't wait. Learn the food shortage skills that can keep you and your family alive in a crisis. Get the details at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com. Or you can call toll-free 877-327-0365. Don't wait for empty shelves. Go to foodshortageusa.com while you still have time. www.foodshortageusa.com or toll-free at 877-327-0365. Act now.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can bring up whatever you want. Just dial the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are totally free. And if you like the show, would like to help support Free Talk Live, go shopping with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Enter Amazon through that link. Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. There are over 41 categories in which you can shop, including used items. So head on over to amazon.freetalklive.com. Get the stuff you need for life and feel good because you're getting a great deal. Free Super Saver shipping on a whole lot of items. And you're helping Free Talk Live out all at the same time. So head over to amazon.freetalklive.com as we head over to your phone calls. Rod is on the line in Canada. Hello, Rod.
Hey there.
You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Yeah, I just I want to tell you guys got a really great great show going there. I don't even know how I found out about you a few weeks back, and I downloaded some of your stuff. I've been listening to it pretty much nonstop, and decided to become a contributor amper yesterday.
Excellent.
So I really appreciate that. You know, I'm here in Canada, and I've really been thinking in the last couple of weeks about the possibility of moving there to New Hampshire. Talking it over with my wife, and I got a couple of young kids, and you know, you've really intrigued me with that. But I've got some, I got a couple of questions.
Okay.
I live on Vancouver Island, which is very, you know, there's a lot of environmentalists, and mm-hmm. I talk to people, of course, about libertarian ideas, the idea of the freedom, and I have a difficulty trying to answer questions around things like global warming. I personally, my feeling is that it's greatly hyped and it's mm-hmm. something that we can't even control. But I can't seem to really, in my head, formulate something where I can argue with them on a free market basis about that.
Well,
I understand the general idea go ahead.
Well, I was just going to interject an idea here because words are very important, at least to me. And I think the term argue is something you might want to put out of your vocabulary. You don't want to argue with people because when you're arguing with somebody, they dig into their position and they defend it to the death. Whereas if you're persuading someone, then you are simply giving them information that might be necessary to help them see how their goals, which in this case would be cleaning up the environment, how their goals can be achieved through voluntary market-based means as opposed to, you know, the current governmental coercive system. So maybe form your discussions in favor of persuading somebody rather than arguing with them, simply because arguing doesn't usually convince the person you're arguing with, even though it could possibly convince a third party who was watching the argument. I think it's important to learn persuasive tactics and techniques and go to the Advocates for Self-Government for a really great it's a great website you can go to. There's lots of information they have, and great books and audio CDs and stuff like that you can get more information on persuasive techniques, and that is theadvocates.org. And I know you were going somewhere else, but Mark, it looks like you want to jump in.
No, I was just going to comment on one of the ways, the environmental issue is, it's a big one. It's a tough one in dealing with people. And I'd encourage you to read Mary Ruart's book,
yes,
Healing Our World, and you'll get a better taste of what it is that I'm going to tell you. But it's sort of difficult for many people to let go of the control aspect. But when you look at situations, the United States government is the largest polluter in the world,
bigger than any of bigger than the top four corporate polluters combined.
So you're asking the largest polluter in the world to stop pollution, and I can best give you United States examples. I'm sure that you can find Canadian ones. But for instance, the Alaskan National Wildlife Refuge or whatever, ANWR, this is a big wildlife deal, but there's oil underneath them caribou, and the people want it. So what's happened? Slowly but surely, people have been chipping away at this desolate wasteland up there, and the environmentalists are all upset. When you put it in the hands of the government, the powerful will get what the powerful want.
Influential, Greenpeace or the oil industry?
Right, or Exxon. As much as people might want it to be true, as much as they might want democracy to work from the ground up, grassroots, blah, 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 we'll get the right guy in there, it doesn't. It never does. It simply doesn't. You or I or whomever will never have the kind of control it takes to best administer public land, natural lands, as a private person would. And there's all kinds of examples like the Sierra Club, the Audubon Society, and
these are private organizations that take member contributions and use those contributions to purchase natural areas and essentially preserve them in their natural environment, and they do a far, far better job than any governmental park service or governmental land manager does. And Mary Ruart, in her book, and I was going to make that same recommendation, Mark, Healing Our World, you can get you can read the entire 90s edition on her website free at ruart.com, ruart.com, and you can buy the 2001 edition, which I highly recommend. But in that book, she gives all kinds of citable examples of how it is that the government is not the best steward for the environment at all. It's, in fact, the government land managers just don't care about the plots of land that they're managing. And even if they do care, they still aren't as cautious of a manager as a manager might be if they actually had a plot, or if they actually had a piece of the land, if they actually owned it. They don't. They're just a government bureaucrat, and they just want to get their pension. So if they lease out the land to some organization that comes in and clear cuts it, it's no skin off their back. They're not going to have to sell the land to anybody, so it doesn't matter how they take care of it. So there's all kinds of incentives, that come into play when someone is a private owner of property. They have an incentive to take care of it, so down the line they can give it to their grandchildren, or they can sell it off to the highest bidder. But if they pollute their own private property, then they've just destroyed the value that they have in it. So there's all kinds of really great examples that Dr. Ruart gives out there. But we've sort of been rambling, so go ahead with your thoughts.
Oh, no, that's great. That's the kind of thing I was looking for, because I'm having trouble finding resources that can help me with this. I mean, you guys, I'm going to definitely check out the website and books that you recommended. About the global warming thing, where would you guys kind of go with that one in general? Because, I mean, when you're polluting something and I understand the whole private property and the different psychology that's involved when you own something, absolutely. When you're talking about global warming, it's almost like the sort of smoking issue, or somebody's blowing secondhand smoke over you, but the Japanese are doing it to the Swedish, how do you address that? I'd be interested in hearing what you guys have to say about that.
You know what?
Global warming, or climate change, or whatever you want to, however you want to put it.
Right. I would guess that a lot of the environmental proposals that are on the table from the various different groups that are interested in this, I would imagine that they're proposing regulations on the various different corporations that are, you know, what carbon credits would they do, right? Right. This tends to be the governmental answer to the environmental problems is that, well, you just have to put more stuff in cars, you know, shove some more stuff under the trunk, mandate that all these car, you know, auto manufacturers have to do this and this. And this, or mandate that the people with smokestacks have to do this and this and this. And what you end up finding is that the big corporations that are being regulated are actually in favor of the regulations. The big corporations, the corporate entities, they have no real problem absorbing these regulations into their business model. They just hire some extra lawyers, they do whatever paperwork is necessary, and you know they spend whatever money is necessary to come into compliance, and you know they can pass those costs on because they've got such volume scale, they can increase their end cost by a few cents and get those costs covered. Whereas somebody who might be a mom-and-pop entity who decided they wanted to expand their business into one of these areas, and again, I'm not picking any particular industry, but if you wanted to get into whatever the industry was that was being regulated, the additional regulations just make it that much more difficult for you to bring your business on board and to compete with the existing businesses. And these existing corporations know this. They understand that the more regulations there are on their industry, the less likely it is that any new players are going to crop up and provide them with some sort of radical, innovative, competitive business model that could possibly turn the industry upside down on its face. So they have an interest in having the government actually act as their enforcer to keep people out of the business. And it doesn't just happen in the realm of environmental stuff. This happens in, you know, it happens in your local plumber's guild. You know, it happens with the restaurant association. I mean, these are people that have been in business. They have an interest in staying in business, and they have an interest in keeping new competitors out of the marketplace. So they lobby the government for things like health code regulations and things like, you know, plumber's licensing and stuff like that. And all of these things, all of it, what it does serve to do is to keep business owner potential entrepreneurs out of the industry, to scare them off and to restrict the marketplace to the existing players. And it's detrimental.
And those business owners are going to provide people with jobs. They're going to provide people with products that they need to make life significantly better. You know, I don't know. That's not the greatest argument in the world to some environmentalists. Some of them want us to live in caves and think that internal combustion engine is the worst thing that, you know, ever was created. But many of them do understand that people need jobs and that products make life better.
I hope that helps. Check out Dr. Ruart's book and then come back to us if you've got more. We'd always be happy to talk to you again. I thank you for the call tonight, sir. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Hour number two is on the way. Your call's coming up and about whatever you want. Plus, we might get to the sodomy story. It's Free Talk Live.
This November, support the real libertarian. Support George Phillies for president. George wants Uncle Sam out of your wallet, bedroom, and gun locker. This November, send Henry Paulson and those congressional bailout crooks a message. Vote libertarian. In New Hampshire, vote Phillies for president. Donate at choosegeorge.org. That's choosegeorge.org.
Paid for by Phillies 2008. This is George Phillies, libertarian for president. I approved of this message.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.